Why don't we remain standing as we read the verses that I have chosen for the sermon today that I've taken from Galatians chapter 6, verse 11 to verse 15. Galatians chapter 6, verse 11 to 15. Can we read together in count of three? One, two, three. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. You may be seated. It's such an honor for me to be able to speak to you this morning, and such a joy. So I would like to say thank you to Pastor Sun and all the leadership in ICC for inviting me. And yeah, it's such a joy, and I really pray and look forward to spending the weekend with most of you throughout the camp. And also, I'm expecting not only to bless you, but I'm expecting to receive blessing from you. I really look forward to this time together. And for those of you who do not know me, as Pastor Sun mentioned, my name is Yossi. I'm a pastor at Rock Sydney Church English Service in Sydney. And for some of you, when you look at my face and you said, he's a pastor? He doesn't look like a pastor. He looked like a college graduate. I know, right? Like, my face is not, my age is not as young as my face. That's all I can tell you. If you want to know how old I am, I can talk to you after the service. Let's start. I like fashion, as you can see. Like, I'll try to keep up with the latest fashion trends as long as it's still modest and nice. Okay, and here's what I know about fashion, though. Fashions keep changing. What's in right now will no longer be in a few years' time. And what's popular right now will not longer be popular in a few years' time. And it usually goes in a circle. Like, for example, if you follow fashion and you know today is the era of white pants, right? A lot of people are wearing these all white pants. As you can see, I'm wearing one of them. But 10 years ago, or maybe some of you are still wearing them, it was the era of skinny pants, okay? But white pants, if you know, it's already a thing 20 years ago, okay? We call them flare jeans. I don't know if you are alive back in the days, okay? I wore them as well, okay? So we know that fashion trends keep changing in season and out of season. But let me tell you what will never go out of season. The gospel of Jesus Christ is never out of season. There will never be a time where we do not need the gospel. And that is, I believe, what's Paul's main argument in the book of Galatians. Paul is trying to say, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, one day, one month, one week, one year, one decade, one century, you will never, ever, ever move beyond the need of the gospel. And if you get the gospel, here's the thing, you will boast in nothing but the cross of Jesus Christ. So let's talk about boasting first, right? Because maybe the idea of boasting that we have in our mind and what Paul is talking about is a bit different. The idea of boasting actually comes from warfare, okay? It occurs a lot in Paul's letter, but originally boast was actually a part of warfare. Like, how do you get people into almost certain death? With a boast. So basically what usually happened was a ritual boast was where the commander of the army got up and said, today is the day of victory. Our hands will bring us the glory that we desire, and our spears will be bathed in the enemy's blood. And if we die, we will feast in Valhalla. Okay, that's what a lot of Vikings said. And everybody shouted what? Rah! And they charge. So a boast was how you get yourself ready and how you get the confidence to charge into battle. And the thing is, everybody has to boast in something. There's no such thing as a person who does not boast. We must boast in something. A boast is what we look to for confidence, strength, and validation. So basically, a boast is our identity. And we need to put our identity in something. Okay? Listen to what God says in Jeremiah 9, verse 23-24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts in this, that he understand and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So every one of us, we boast in something that is valuable and precious to us. Okay? Why do people boast? We boast because we want other people to appreciate the thing that makes us feel valuable. Like for example, I never heard a little kid who boasts to his parents that he got an F on his test. Like, Daddy, Mommy, look at me. I got an F in my math test. And the parents are like, you got an F? That is amazing. Because F stands for fantastic. Let's go to Korean barbecue and celebrate. Never heard that, right? What we hear is, Daddy, Mommy, look at what I got. I got A+ on my math test. Look how smart I am. People boast in something that is precious to them. And that is why that's the wise boast in their wisdom. Because they want people to appreciate how smart they are. The mighty boast in their might because they want other people to know how strong they are. The riches boast in their riches because they want other people to know how much possession they have. So all of us, we have to boast in something. All of us have something to which we rely on to say, because I have this, I am somebody. Because I have this, I am valuable. Because I have this very thing, then I know that I am precious. If you don't believe me, look at social media. Social media is filled with boasts, right? People post, when they post, they actually post things that they find precious. And here's the thing about boasting. We like to boast. I mean, we like to tell other people why we matter, why the food that we eat matter, why our holiday destination matter. But we don't really like it when other people boast, don't we? We like to boast, but we don't like to hear other people boast. So what do? We mute their Instagram stories. Am I the only one? Some of you can. Are you able to do that? Yes, you can. We must boast. We cannot not boast. And God has no problem with boasting. He wants us to boast. The problem is not boasting in itself. The problem is what is the object of our boasting. Because God wants us to boast in God. He wants to be the object of our boast. And our passage for today is actually the end of the letter, okay? And if you are familiar with Paul's letter, usually at the end of the letter, he ended with final greeting. He said like, you know, say hi to him, say hi to her, say, this person, I miss this person, welcome him, welcome her. But not so in Galatians. Like Paul closes his letter in Galatians with a bang, okay? Because he's not simply saying his farewell, but he actually sum up the content of his letter. Look at verse 11. He says this, see with what large letter I'm writing to you with my own hand. So what happened was, Paul was using someone else to write the letter as he dictated the words. But now as he reached the end of the letter, he wanted to make sure that people know that it is him actually who actually dictated the letter. So he wrote it with his own hand and he was using big letters. Now some commentators say it's because Paul had an eye problem, which is, I think is possible. But I think the better reason is Paul was trying to emphasize something. So if I could modernize it, this is what Paul did. Paul increased the font size from 11 to 18, and then he clicked bold, underline, and italic on the whole paragraph. Anyone ever received that kind of letter? Why? Because that person is trying to make a point. And Paul here is trying to make a point, and his point is this. Whatever you do, don't miss this. You need to know this. You need to pay your attention, utmost attention to what I'm about to say. And the question is, Paul, what is it that you want to emphasize so much? Here's what Paul say. The cross of Jesus Christ. Because Paul is saying to us, there's nothing more important in your life. There's nothing more important in the history of the world than the cross of Jesus Christ. Why, Paul? What makes the cross of Jesus Christ extremely precious to you? Let's look at it together. I have 2 points for this sermon. The wrong boast and the right boast. Look at the first one, the wrong boast. Verse 12 to verse 13. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who will force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. So if you know the context of Galatians, so throughout the letter of Galatians, Paul is battling the false teaching of the false teachers. Because the false teachers said, well, it's good that you believe in Jesus. That's great. Having faith is awesome. But you cannot be saved by faith alone because you need to get circumcised. Yes, Jesus is awesome, but you need more than faith in Jesus. To which Paul say, no. Faith in Jesus alone is enough to save you. You do not need to be obey the law and to get circumcised to be saved. You obey the law because you are saved. So in other words, the false teacher said, salvation is the result of obedience, while Paul said, obedience is the result of salvation. And now at the end of his letter, Paul pleads one more time, like a lawyer making his final appeal to judge and jury, that Jesus' work alone is enough for salvation. So here's a question that I want us to consider. When we think about Christianity, is Christianity fundamentally a religion of external observance or internal transformation? Is it fundamentally what you do for God or what God has done for you? And the false teacher says, well, of course, that's obvious. It's about what you need to do for God. And Paul says, hold on a second, how can something external, outward, secure the salvation of the soul? It does not make any sense. And if there's anything you can do to save yourself, then why did Jesus have to die? Because the cross of Jesus is meaningless if you can't save yourself. And unless you embrace the cross of Christ, then Christianity is worthless. And let me be straight with you. If you think accepting the cross of Jesus Christ is easy, you're not thinking clearly. There are many people throughout history, even in our day to day, that try to remove the cross from being the center of Christianity. Even Jesus' disciples find it hard to accept the cross. Like in Matthew chapter 16, remember? Jesus asked his disciples this wonderful question. Guys, who do you say that I am? And Peter, he responds, right? You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus is happy. And Peter is happy because Jesus said, Peter, you know, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. That's revelation from God. Awesome, Peter. And then straight after that, Jesus immediately shifted the topic and talked about the cross. He told them that, guys, I need to go to Jerusalem. I must suffer. I will die. And then I will rise again. And then Peter, being Peter, once again, he got very upset and he rebuked Jesus. He said, no, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are a great teacher. You are Messiah. What do you mean by death and cross? I mean, cut off all this death and cross nonsense. That's not any sense. So Peter, he's fine with Jesus being a teacher. He's okay with Jesus telling them what to do and how to approach God, how to pray, etc. But the moment Jesus talked about the cross, Peter say, what are you talking about? That can't happen. You can't die on the cross. You are Messiah. And you know what Jesus say? Jesus say, get behind me, Satan. I mean, Jesus called Peter Satan. You know what it means? Simply this. When you get the doctrine of the cross wrong, you are in the grip of Satan. When you get the doctrine of the cross wrong, you are doing Satan's bidding. And yet, there are many people today, including people who come to church, who get the doctrine of the cross wrong. And you cannot get the doctrine of the cross wrong, because there is no Christianity without the cross. Which leads me to this question. Then, if that's true, why do people want crossless Christianity? Why do false teachers teach circumcision? Okay, and in this passage, Paul gives us two reasons. Number one, it's because they do not want to be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Now, when we think of persecution of the early church, we often think of the persecution that came from the Romans. Like, we forgot that some of the most severe persecution that Christians experienced does not come from the Roman government, but it actually comes from the religious Jew. I mean, what made the religious Jew so angry to Christian? Here's why. Because Christian Jew, according to them, failed to maintain the proper boundaries between Jews and Gentiles. I mean, they were okay to welcome Gentiles if Gentiles agreed to become Jew by circumcision. So Christian Jews were under so much pressure to have the Christian Gentiles circumcised to avoid trouble from authorities at the local synagogue. And they will be rejected by the Jewish community if they welcome Gentile believers who weren't circumcised. So salvation by Jesus' work on the cross alone was offensive to the Jews, and that is why Paul was persecuted. But listen, the cross is not only offensive to the Jews, the cross is offensive to everyone. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. You might be from a Western culture, you might be from Eastern culture, you might consider yourself a traditional person, or you might consider yourself a more progressive person. You might be a country person, you might be a city person. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. The cross offends. Why? What is it about the cross that's extremely offensive? Because the cross tells you and me that we are far more wicked and helpless than we dare to believe. Here's the thing about people. People love religion, but they hate the cross. People love religion because religion tells you there's something that you can do to earn your salvation, because at the end of the day, you are not that bad. You are not that wicked. You are not that helpless. I mean, there's something you can do on your own strength to achieve salvation. Ultimately, you are in charge of your life. You are in control. The destiny is in your hand. You have the final say. And people love that, right? But the cross tells you that there's absolutely nothing you can do to earn your salvation. You are that bad, that helpless, that weak, that hopeless, that condemned. You are not in control. Your only hope is in someone else who did everything that you cannot and give it to you as a gift. Now, can you start to see why the cross is extremely offensive? Because all of us have inflated fear of ourselves, and the cross shrink us to our true size. And we hate it. We hate to be told that we are too weak, too sinful to do anything to contribute to our salvation. So if you're a secular person and you hear the message of the cross, you find it offensive because you believe, well, there must be more than one way to God, right? As long as people are good, as long as they're moral, sincere, they'll be okay. Because every religion leads to the same place. What matters is you be kind, you don't hurt other people, and you live well. But then the cross comes and tells you there's no other way to God except to the death of Jesus Christ. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And secular people are offended by the exclusivity of the cross. On the other hand, religious people also offended by the cross. Think about what the cross means. The cross means that those of you who try super hard to be the best parents you can be, those of you who try super hard to be the best children you can be, those of you who have been living a good life all your life and have a good track record, you are in the very same place as those who abandon their children, rebel against their parents,
those who have been extremely bad and have criminal records. You are both lost and you need the same cross to save you. Those of you who are sexually pure and those of you who prostituted yourself, you are in the same spot. Those of you who did not make more money because you decided to keep your integrity, and those of you who make a lot of money because you cheated, you are in the same spot. You are both lost and you need the same cross to save you. Now, can you see why the cross is extremely offensive to religious people? Because the cross tells religious people that the good people and the bad people are in the same place. The cross is offensive because it goes against all schemes of self-salvation. It inflicts its wound on human pride. It tells you that you are so wicked, so weak, that the only way to be saved is through the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, Martin Lloyd-Jones used to ask this question whenever he wants to know whether a person understands his presentation of the gospel or not. So basically, he asked them this question. Are you ready to say that you're a Christian? And if a person hesitated and say, you know what, that's a really good gospel presentation. I really like your presentation, but I don't feel like I'm good enough to be a Christian yet. He knew that person did not understand Christianity. Why? Because you can't be a Christian by being good enough. You can only be a Christian by believing. You can only be Christian by believing that Jesus died for you and you died to your own self-salvation and self-righteousness. So here's the thing about the cross. You either love the cross or hate the cross. It is either the greatest thing in the world or it is the most detestable thing in the world. If you are in the middle, you don't understand it yet. The world is offended by the cross. That's why the people who love the cross are persecuted. So that's the first reason why the false teachers actually preach circumcision, because they don't want to be persecuted. But the second reason why they preach circumcision is because it is their ground for boasting. So here's the problem with false teachers. They have the wrong boast. They want to be seen as successful. And the more people they circumcise, the more impressed people will be back in Jerusalem, the more they feel like they're somebody. Okay? So their main concern is not so much whether the Galatians actually live the law or not. Their main concern is actually how many converts they can make. Now, it's like whenever I attend pastors' conference, right? I'm pretty sure Pastor Sern and Sam can understand what I'm talking about. Whenever I attend pastor conference, there's always two questions that people ask. Okay, and the first question, I can see why they ask the question, right? The first question is usually this: which seminary did you go to? You're like, okay, yeah, okay. And people, oh, I go to this seminary, I go to that seminary. Okay, that's cool. But the second question, anyone can guess? How many people do you have in your church? Okay, and pastors say things like, by the grace of God, I have 80 people in my church. How about you? By the grace of God, I have 8,000 people in my church. Okay, I don't want to talk to you. Goodbye. And pastor, we use this word, by the grace of God, right, to make it sound humble. But you know what we're actually doing? It's actually just a religious boasting. So the same with the false teachers. So when they're back in Jerusalem, they ask each other, how many foreskins did you collect? Oh, praise be to Yahweh, I cut off 10 foreskins. How about you? Praise be to Yahweh, 100 circumcision. So they're obsessed with numbers. In other words, they've gotten into ministry for the fame, prestige, and honor it can bring them. Their ministry is simply a form of self-salvation project. The more people like their ministry, the more they feel like they earn their salvation, the more they boast about it. But in reality, Paul calls them hypocrites. Why? Because they themselves do not obey the law. They themselves know they cannot keep the law perfectly. They fall short of their own standard. But they teach circumcision in order to boast in themselves and make themselves look better than other people. They want people to admire them. And that is the total opposite of the gospel. Because the gospel is inside out. It's an inner change that leads to a new motivation for obedience. While their message is outside out, focusing only on the behavior and never dealing with the heart. So the question that I want you to think about before I move to my next point is this. What are you boasting in? All of us, we must put our identity in something. What is it that makes us feel precious? Is it our career, our family, our relationship, our children, our wealth? What is it that makes you feel like somebody? What is it that you boast on? Because if you're not boasting the cross of Jesus Christ, that is the wrong boast. And I've got the right boast. Verse 15. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Now, I love verse 14. It is one of my life verses. Martin Luther put it this way. He asked this question. When Satan attacks you, when you fall, when you fail, how do you defend yourself from yourself? What do you turn to when Satan accuses you? That's what you boast in. And Paul says you essentially have two choices. You either boast in yourself or you boast in the cross. That's it. That's the only two choices. You either put your confidence in yourself or you put confidence in the cross of Jesus Christ. And the two don't go together. John Stott put it beautifully. He says this. The truth is that we cannot boast in ourselves and in the cross simultaneously. If we boast in ourselves, in our ability to save ourselves, we shall never boast in the cross and in the ability of Christ crucified to save us. And we have to choose. Only if we have humbled ourselves as hell-deserving sinners shall we give up boasting of ourselves, fly to the cross for salvation, and spend the rest of our days glorying in the cross. So if Satan accuses you and you say, but I'm a good father, I'm a good minister, I'm a good mother, I'm a good Christian, I serve in the church, that means you are boasting in yourself. You put confidence in what you do, and that's a wrong boast. It is not going to stand when the enemy attacks you because your righteousness is a filthy rag. It's fragile. But listen to what Paul says. Paul says this, me genoito, which is translated in the ESV, far be it from me. But I think that's a weak translation. Because what Paul is saying is this, may it never be. Paul is saying this, I absolutely will never, ever, ever boast in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, why? Because Paul understands that the only reason that he's saved, the only reason that he can stand accepted before God, the only reason that he has a future is because Jesus died on that cross for him. The cross of Jesus Christ, the only reason that Paul can stand before God, holy, righteous, and blameless. It is his only source of confidence. And this is the difference between religion and gospel. Religion leads us to boast in something about ourselves. The gospel leads us to boast only in the cross of Jesus Christ. We are saved solely and wholly because of Jesus' perfect work at the cross, not our works. We can take zero credit for our salvation. Our confidence is not in how well we perform, but in Jesus' perfect performance. And all the affirmation that we seek, all the approval that we long for is already ours through Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we already have the applause of heaven that we crave. Because everything we have as Christian, every blessing we will enjoy and we have enjoyed is all because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the cross is not just something we boast about. It is the only thing we boast about. And if we truly boast in the cross of Jesus Christ, Paul says there's a big shift in our life. Look at verse 14. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now notice, Paul does not say the world has been crucified. He does not say that. He says what? The world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Which means, Paul is saying, the world ceased to have any claim on me. Because there's nothing in this world that has any power over Paul. Because the gospel destroyed the power of the world, the temple. How? Because he understands this. If you put your faith in Jesus, you already have everything you need in Jesus. There's nothing in this world that we must have. And because of it now, we are free to enjoy the world and we don't have to worship the world. So money is great. Money is good. But money is no longer identity. Money is just money and we can easily give it away. Love, relationship, they're good. But they're not the bread of life to us. We don't melt down when the person we love disappoints us. Because we understand that our approval, our affirmation, our recognition comes from God. So we no longer try to suck it out from everyone around us. Who cares what other people did? Who cares what they think? Their approval doesn't drive us and their criticism doesn't kill us. Because Jesus is so precious and big to us so that everything looks empty and small in comparison. And that is why in verse 15 Paul says this, for neither circumcisions count for anything, nor uncircumcisions, but a new creation. When it comes to our salvation, our moral attainment and our moral failures are irrelevant. Whether we come from a good Christian family who always goes to church every Sunday and always pay our tithe every single week, or we come from a broken family who always get wasted and addicted to gambling and alcohol, it doesn't matter. They don't count for anything. Because Christianity is not about being good or religious. Christianity is about becoming a new creation. And there is nothing we can do to make us a new creation. Only God by His grace can. Therefore, Christianity is a work of divine grace. It's not about what we have done. It's about what Christ has done. And because of the cross now, we do not feel inferior or intimidated by those who are far better than we are. Circumcisions means nothing. And we do not feel superior or scornful to those who are far worse than we are. Uncircumcisions mean nothing. What matters is we are a new creation in Christ because of the cross. See what happened now? The gospel gives us a whole new self-image and a whole new way of relating to everyone. The gospel guru, Timothy Keller, sums up Paul's words in these verses really well. He says this, the gospel changes what I fundamentally boast in. It changes the whole basis for my identity. Nothing in the whole world has any power over me. I am free at last to enjoy the world, for I do not need the world. I feel neither inferior to anyone nor superior to anyone. And I am being made all over into someone and something entirely new. So here's my question as I end the sermon. What are you boasting in? Because if you're boasting in the cross, the world has no power over you. If the world has power over you, that means you are still boasting in something beside the cross of Jesus Christ. See, whatever that you're angry about today, whatever you're tempted by, whatever makes you feel like you're nobody, whatever is getting you down is something that you are boasting in. Okay, maybe it's that relationship that's not working out. Maybe it's that family member. Maybe it's your fame, your reputation. Maybe it's your career, your achievement, your success, whatever it is. What we need to do, if we understand the gospel, we need to look at that thing and say, you know what, that thing is good, but that thing can never ever save me. That thing can never ever make me feel beautiful. That thing can never ever make me feel like I'm somebody. Only the cross of Jesus Christ can. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop boasting about this very thing, and I'm going to start boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ. I will put my confidence is not in what I can do for God, but in what Jesus has done for me. Because the cross tells me that Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is my identity. Jesus is everything I need, and I am His, and He is mine. So what you need to do is not to tell yourself, I need to prove myself before God. No. Because you have nothing to prove. The cross settled that for you. Jesus has done that on your behalf. You no longer need to seek the applause of God because you already have the applause of God. How? Here's how. And I end the sermon. What happened at the cross of Jesus Christ? Here's what happened. At the cross, the only person who deserved the applause of God was Mark. At the cross, Jesus cried out this statement, my God, why? For the very first time in his life, Jesus called his Father, my God. Because think about the rejection that Jesus experienced at the cross. Jesus was rejected by his very own people that he came to save, the Jew. He was rejected by the authority of his day, the Roman government. He was rejected by his closest friend. His disciple left him. So he was betrayed from every side. And to make it worse, at the cross, Jesus experienced rejection from God the Father. Now, Jesus in his divinity is inseparable from God the Father. But for the first time in his life, Jesus in his humanity, he felt abandoned by God the Father. Because at the cross, Jesus experienced the cosmic rejection that we should have experienced. Why? Because Jesus became our sin. For our sake, Jesus became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And that is why with his last breath, at the very last moment of his life at the cross, Jesus cried out, what? It is finished. To let you and I know that the price for your salvation, the price of my salvation has been done, has been paid once and for all. And today, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, when God looks at you, He does not see you in your flaw. But rather, what He say, what you hear is, I love you. I delight in you. I rejoice in you. You are beautiful. You are gorgeous. In Jesus, God look at us with the only pair of eyes in the universe whose opinion matters, and He sees absolute beauty. And if that's true, why would we boast in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ? So now we can say together with Paul, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Christians are those who boast in nothing except the cross of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.